Amen. Open your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Corinthians, and we're going to jump in this morning. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the opportunity you have given us, Lord. We don't take it lightly, Lord God, of what it is, Father God, that you're doing inside of each of us, Lord. So, Father, I pray through the power of your Holy Spirit today, Lord, the anointing would flow in this place, Lord. Because without your anointing, Lord, we're just dead in the water, Lord. We just go through the motions, Father God. This is just a religious exercise. But, Father, your anointing, Lord God, it must fall in each of our lives, Lord God, that we might receive what it is that you have for us, Father. We look to you right now, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, folks, a few years ago, whenever my wife and I first got married, one of the things that we noticed about her parents and my parents were that her parents and my parents had a lot of old stuff. Go over and borrow something from my father-in-law, and man, this thing got 30, 40 years worth of wear on it already. Are y'all with me? I mean, man, they just had all this old stuff. My parents have all this old stuff. One of the things that I've realized recently, because see, I'm looking back, you know, 35, 36, 37 years ago. One of the things I've recognized recently is all of my stuff's getting old. Now, there's not a lot of people in this room would understand what I'm talking about right now, but the other day I was out in my shop and I found something that had a Surplus City price tag on it. Ms. Joyce knows what that is. Surplus City used to be the go-to place in Carlsbad, New Mexico. So, you know, I'm talking 35 years ago, probably I bought this, and it's still in my shop drawer, and it's got a Surplus City price tag on it. Now, I'm going to tell y'all something here, and I just need y'all not to judge me. Would y'all just... Come on, man. This was day before yesterday. I'm cleaning the kitchen, doing the various things that I got to do. And I opened a cabinet. I was making some hummingbird feed because my wife believes that that's the way God takes care of all the creatures, is by sending them to our house. I was making some hummingbird feed, and so I was getting the stuff out of the cabinet that I needed to make this hummingbird feed, and I happened to look in the back of the cabinet, and there were several boxes of Jell-O pudding back there. And I thought, man, we haven't eaten Jell-O pudding in a long time. So I retrieved those boxes out of there, and I started looking at them, and I said, man, that's expired. That's expired. And I got to the very last one, which is a box of chocolate Jell-O pudding, and I looked at it, and it expired in 2002. I thought, oh, my goodness, how in the world? And then I began to make the mathematical equation in my brain, and this is what I realized. We bought that box of pudding in Montana. How in the world do we get to a spot where we have a box of Jell-O pudding that's 15 years old in our cabinet? The next potluck we have, guess what y'all are eating? I'm kidding, I'm kidding. All of my stuff's getting old. I guess whenever I die, I guess I'm destined to have a lot of old stuff that I'm just going to leave to my kids. Oh, this is just mom and dad's old stuff. I guess what I'm saying is I got to get used to living with old stuff. My wife is getting used to living with an old man. It's too many creaks and crunches now whenever I get up off the couch. But this morning, I want to take this message just a little bit further than where I've been. Because I think that probably all of us, and some of you guys teenagers, you have no idea what I'm talking about. I have underwear in my drawer that's older than you, Jonathan. So y'all don't have a clue what I'm talking about. One of these days, you're going to look at the cabinet and you're going to go, what? I got a box of Jell-O that's 20 years old in here. That box of Jell-O is older than you. Oh my goodness. I think we obviously are going to have to get used to stuff in our lives getting old. But the one thing that makes the spiritual journey so amazing, you know, this is a spiritual journey I'm on. I started this thing about 37 years ago. Are y'all with me? I started a spiritual journey. I started walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the thing is, I don't ever want to get used to living with the old JD. Come on, are y'all with me? See, that's one of those things that I look at, and I'm so thankful that Jesus Christ is in the business of transforming human beings. Amen? I don't need to get used to the old way I used to think. I don't need to get used to the old way I used to talk. I don't want to get used to the old way I used to act. Are y'all with me? Because Jesus is in the business of changing the way I think. He's in the business of changing the way I talk, the way I act. So that brings us to our text this morning. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's begin reading in verse number 13. This is the Apostle Paul talking to his church, and he says this to him. He says, "Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away, but their minds were blinded, for until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, the veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now, the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." Man, I'm telling you, that's a good verse right there. "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." So the Apostle Paul here writes something that is just amazing that you and I, in the next few minutes, we got to get a hold of. Now, here's the question that I have for you. We're 7 months deep pretty much into this year. Are y'all with me? So this is the question I have for you. How different are you now than the first Sunday of 2017? How different are you? Can you look at your life and say, "Man, I've changed"? And now I don't want any of y'all to say, "I gained 29 pounds, I'm different." No. We're not talking about that, okay? I mean, basically it's this. How much about you is new from the year of 2016? How different do you think that you're going to be by the end of this year? Whenever we roll over into the next year, do y'all realize that we roll over into the next year, we're going to be signing our checks 2018. I for sure thought the world was going to end by this time, didn't you? Goodness gracious. Well, this is one of the things that I've learned over the years that I've walked with Jesus Christ. You will be as different as you determine to be. Come on, now hear this, folks. You're only going to be as different whenever we kick in this new year of 2018 as you make a determination to be. You see, one basic purpose of the church is to provide, is to be a positive transforming agent. That's what the church is for. That's why we have youth classes and children's classes and adult classes. That's why we have preaching in the sanctuary, so that we can be an agent of transformation, so that you can come here. And if you come here on a consistent basis, hopefully that you can look at your life and say, "Hey, I have changed since I started coming here." Are y'all with me? That's what the church's job is. To grow closer to Jesus. That's the change you're looking for. To grow closer to Jesus, grow closer to one another. Do you look around this room and say, "Man, Jesus, I love him more today than I did at the beginning of the year. I love the people of this church more than I did at the beginning of the year." See, it's understood that you can't get closer to Jesus unless you're in motion. You got to be in motion. You got to move from the spot that you are into a different spot. We're people of habit. We like to stay in the spot we're in. Amen? Don't we? Some of y'all sit in the same spot every Sunday. Oh, man. I came in here a few weeks ago for the baptism, and I come in here, and I looked on the front row. I'm telling you, if you're going to change, you have to be in motion. You got to be in motion. I'm saying, I came in here and there were people sitting on my pew here. That's my pew. But you want me to tell you something? It absolutely thrilled my heart for somebody to be sitting there. I mean, it did. Geez, there's people in the front row beside the paid pastoral staff. Are y'all with me? You can't get closer to Jesus. You can't get closer to each other unless you are willing to move. Thank you, Fred, for being willing to move. You see, you can't get closer to others. You can't get closer to Jesus by being unmovable. You can't get where you're going by staying where you are. Listen to that. You can't get there if you're going to stay where you are. By the way, this is a question we all got to answer. Do we really know where we're going? See, I can't just move for the sake of moving. I got to move for a purpose. I want to be what Jesus has designed me to be. Amen? He created me with a purpose on my life, and I want to be what it is that He has designed me to be. See, we say that the church is in the business of transforming lives because that's what God does. Whenever God gets a hold of your life, whenever you let Him have your life, He begins to transform you. God is not out to just make you better. Now listen to this, folks. There's a lot of self-help programs. There's a lot of self-help gurus out there that all they want to do is help make your life better. A few years ago, I called the old church I used to work with, and the receptionist answered the phone. Didn't know who I was. I'm glad of that because I was a smart aleck. She says, "First Assembly of God, how may I make your day better?" And it really caught me off guard because I've never had anybody answer the phone like that. And I said, "You could pay my mortgage payment." There was a long pause. And she said, "Well, I don't think I'll be able to do that." I said, "Then my day's not going to be better." No. See, Jesus Christ is not just in the business of making you better to improve you like so many self-help things. Folks, Jesus Christ is in the business to transform you. Are y'all with me? He wants to transform you totally and completely. He wants to transform our spirit. He wants to make our spirits live forever. Are y'all there with me? He wants to transform our personalities. He ultimately wants to transform our bodies. I'm going to tell you some good news. Are y'all ready for this? There's coming a day whenever we cross over from this life into the next life, and we are going to receive a new body. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Some of y'all out there, I like mine. I don't want a new one. So I like mine okay, but I still want a new one. God is in the business of transforming. Listen to this. He's going to give me an immortal body. Immortal. That's the stuff you read about in fantasy books. But yet it's going to happen. You're going to bump into me in heaven if you make it. Just saying. It's all about this message this morning. You got to move sometimes. You all understand what I'm saying? We're going to bump into each other in heaven, and you're going to look at me and you go, "Whoa, you looking good." Just think. Immortal body. But my body is also going to be not only immortal, but it's going to be incorruptible, the Bible says. Incorruptible. My spirit is going to be transformed. My personality is going to be transformed. My body is going to be transformed. Now, one of the things you got to understand about the church is, or the individuals who make up the church, you see, we should be fixed on what I see as a threefold mission. Threefold mission. We should be fixed on this mission. I was so thankful to hear what our last chapel service was in our youth camp that just took place. The speakers told our kids, say, "Listen, man, make disciples. Go out and find somebody that needs Jesus Christ and make a disciple out of them." And I'm going, yes! So I've got that guy going to come and preach that service to us. Threefold mission, this is it. We need to be tour guides. that bring others to the one who can transform their spirit. We need to be living expressions of God's ability to transform our personalities culture-wide. And we need to be preparing for the day that our bodies are going to be transformed and refitted for eternity. Are y'all with me? That's what our threefold mission ought to be about. In every aspect of you and I's existence, God is at work. And this is what He is at work doing. He is at work transforming individuals. Can I just tell y'all something? I think God is not only in the business of transforming individuals, but I think God is in the business of transforming churches. I'm telling you, I'm praying for this church to change. Not just where we sit on a given Sunday morning, but I'm praying that this church changes. I'm praying this pastor changes. I need to change. And so the reason I'm preaching this message is because I need to hear it. So if you don't need to hear it, you're just going to have to bear with me because I need to hear this. God transforms individuals. He transforms churches. And I'm going to tell you something. If God is given the opportunity, He'll transform a nation. He'll transform a world. So the good news is, I don't have to put up with the old JD. Y'all with me? No, let me rephrase that. I don't have to put up with the old way he thinks, the old way he talks, the old way he acts, unless I choose to. Because God says he has the ability, the power, and the wherewithal to change me if I desire to be changed. See, God wants to transform every aspect of who I am. God hasn't just saved us and then abandoned us and run off and played golf somewhere. You see, He is still wanting to be intimately involved in every aspect of our life. So God is in this process of transforming you and I. Not just the idea of from bad to good, because a lot of times that's where we stop. You know, somebody thinks about what God does in their life, and God is just in the process of transforming me from bad because I was bad once. Are y'all with me? He's transforming me into good. No, that's not where God stops. God wants to transform me from better to best. I can see it excites all of you in here. Y'all are just going, yes. No, think about it for a minute. Some of you in this room, you're okay. Y'all know what I'm saying? I mean, you're sweet people. For the most part, you got your act together. And so we can say, that's better than they used to be. But God's not there. He's not going to leave us there. He wants to take us a step further. He wants to transform us from better to best. And I don't know about you, but I like the best. Amen? Come on. I like the best. That's what I want to be a part of, is for my life to go from where it is now to the best that I can possibly be. But it's up to us. It's up to those people whom want to become better. Best. And let me just make sure y'all understand this, because folks, this thing crosses every boundary that there is that we can erect as human beings, because we can say, listen, man, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. I caught myself the other day telling somebody that I've paid my dues, and the Holy Spirit just told me, he said, babe, you should never say that. You see, this is what I know about myself. No matter where I am in this walk, I'm not there yet. And neither are you. We've got some, indeed, saints in this room, but we're just not there yet. We're not there as individuals. We're not there as a church. And so, understand this. The Bible's idea of transforming is not simply change. It's not simply just improving. You see, God is at work, and this is the great thing about God. God is a creator. Are y'all with me? He's a creator. So He is in our lives. He is recreating who we are. I love that, that God didn't just come in and he just builds on what we have. God has the ability to recreate inside of you and I, to reprogram how we think, to redefine what is it we value, to give us an explanation in why we do what we do. That's what God is in the business of doing. He's doing this so that we'll be conformed to the image of his son. See, ultimately, that's what he's up to. If you've ever been there, whenever somebody came in the room and they're smiling, you know, it's got that look on their face, and you look at them and you go, man, what are you up to? This is what you need to know. God's up to something in your life. God's up to something in the life and times of this church right here. He's doing something in us. And what he's doing is he is conforming us into the image of his son. He wants us to be like Jesus. I was the third in a line of three boys. I'm the baby. My other two brothers, I'm sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, they were adopted from some horribly dysfunctional set of parents. And then I grew up and I decided I was adopted and they were the real kids. I don't know. My mom and dad say we're all blood brothers, but I don't know. I have my doubts. And growing up, there was times whenever my parents would actually tell me this. They would say, why don't you act like your big brother? See, my oldest brother, he was like angelic. My middle brother, totally different. But my oldest brother, he was like the best one. Angelic. And my parents used to say, why don't you act like your big brother? I used to just let the air out of his tires whenever they would tell me that. I'm going to act like him and let him change that flat. You go, he would never do that. I did that. I actually did that. There was times I hated my older brother. This is a situation here, though, that is quite different. Because someone's not asking you to live up to the example of a human individual. They're asking you to live up to the image of Jesus Christ, who is God forevermore. And this is what I'm telling you, and this is what I'm repeating to myself over and over again. Why can't I act like my older brother? And the answer to that comes, I can. All I've got to do is be willing to move from the spot I'm in right now to a spot where God wants to take me. In Romans 8:29, it says, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son. You see, God has this ongoing desire to change, to transform us. He wants to change us. He wants to transform our lives. I got to tell you something. In the 20 or 37 years that I've been walking with Jesus Christ, there's some things that God has changed in my life. I can look at myself and I'm so thankful that I don't do some of the stuff I used to do that was so stupid. Are y'all with me? I'm so thankful for that. But I got to tell you something. I cannot look to JD and say, man, I did that. I take the credit for that, because I have to tell you that if there's anything good in my life whatsoever, it is there as a direct result of Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you why I know that. Because I knew myself before I got saved. And I was a crud ball. I was a crud square. Whatever you want to call me. I was one of them. So now this morning, I need to make sure we all understand that there's a couple of ways that God uses to transform people. Two ways. He transformed people from the inside out, but he also transforms people from the outside in. And let me just make sure we all get this. Because I know some of y'all are hearing this message and y'all are just saying, man, I'm ready to be transformed. This is going to be so exciting. It's going to be awesome. I just want to be transformed. Whether it's from the outside in or from the inside out, I just want to be transformed. See, most of you are in that boat right now. These young people sitting here on the front pew, I mean, they're ready to go. Jonathan, you're with me 100%. I mean, pretty soon you're going to be rooting for Denver and take that nasty hat off. Okay, so we're just ready to be transformed. But now I got to break something to you that perhaps many of us don't know. There is no type of change that is friction-free. And I said that perhaps the most politically correct I could possibly say it. You see, all types of transformation I'm looking for the word. Okay, here. All types of transformation have uncomfortable aspects to them. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Come on. There's no type of transformation that's going to take place in your life that is not friction-free. It's going to have some friction. There's going to be some things that you encounter that are uncomfortable. And you go, man, this really stinks. Let me read you a scripture. This is 2 Corinthians 4. It says, we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our body. For who we are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. Sounds exciting, doesn't it? I'm pressed but not crushed. I'm perplexed but not in despair. I'm persecuted but not abandoned. Struck down but not destroyed. Are y'all with me? Anytime that you and I start to go through this process where we make a decision, say, listen, God, I know you're not through with me. I know there are areas of my life you need to transform. And we get up from the spot we're in. Thank you for that object lesson, Fred. We get up and we make a move. This is what I will tell you. It's not going to be frictionless. So let's talk about inside-out transformation. Inside-out happens in those areas where you're willing to be adjusted. Y'all know what I'm saying? It happens in those areas where you're willing to be adjusted. When you're open to something new, whenever you're sensitive to the interests of God. Inside-out happens whenever you're willing to be adjusted. The story of Ananias in Damascus. Saul is struck down on the road. He becomes the Apostle Paul. And he is sent to go find this guy named Ananias. And Ananias is going to pray for him. God speaks to Ananias and says, hey, I want you to pray for Paul, Saul. And Ananias goes, no way. That guy's meaner than a snake. He's been going around arresting people, throwing them in jail, killing Christians. And Lord, I don't want anything to do with him. And I'm paraphrasing this a whole lot. But basically, Ananias didn't want anything to do with him. And the Lord tells him, he says, listen, he's one of my servants. Pray for him. And Ananias said, okay. Peter, a really good Jew, sitting up on top of the house in the middle of a fast. And you have to understand, right now, the gospel is just unto the Jews. It is not spread into the land of the Gentiles yet. That's you and I. And this vision comes to Peter, and Peter sees this sheet with all kinds of meat in it, and God says, hey, get some of that meat and eat it. And Peter goes, no, I'm not going to eat that meat. It's unclean. You want me to tell you what it was? It was pulled pork. Peter goes, no, I'm not going to eat that. I'm not going to eat it. So God does it again. He comes down now, and it's not just pulled pork, man. It's ham. It's bacon. It's some baby back ribs. Are y'all with me? And Peter goes, no, I'm not going to eat that. And then finally, God does it one more time, and he says, Peter, quit calling the things that I say are clean, unclean. And all of a sudden, Peter gets it. It's not about meat. It's not about pulled pork. It's not about bacon. It's about people. Because see, at that moment in time, the Jews had this horrible, horrible, horrible bias against the Gentile nations. They said, no way could God ever mess with those people. But all of a sudden, God says, Peter, those people are clean because I said they were. And all of a sudden, there's somebody knocking on his door, and it's Cornelius, and he comes, and they go to his house, and pretty soon the gospel is into the Gentile world. Are y'all there with me? So these two men were willing to be changed from the inside out. Transformation might correct a blind spot that you and I have in our life. It might change the way we think. So often, that's what it has to do with, the way we think. But now let's talk for a moment about this outside-in type of transformation. That's what we do with you kids. We have outside-in transformation. We say, Jonathan, if you don't do that, we're going to chain you in the closet. In the youth room, there's chains from the last youth we had in there. There's actually bones from the last youth. We forgot. Outside in, extrinsic motivation, outside in transformation happens in those areas that you're not willing to change in. Those areas perhaps you're hiding. Those areas that you go, man, I'm right and I'm not going to change. And I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of times we're like that. We say, listen, I'm okay. I'm right. My dad was like this. My mom was like this. My family was like that. Are y'all with me? I used to think that about my temper. It was just the normal way of living if you were a Watson. But folks, understand this. In the Apostle Paul's experience, I tell you that God had talked to him many times prior to that Damascus Road experience. God didn't just show up that day on the Damascus Road and strike him down off his horse. Are y'all with me? God had been speaking to Paul over and over and over again until finally God said, listen, I'm going to get your attention. And the Bible says that literally a bright light knocked him to the ground, blinded his eyes, and then spoke to him. The reason that I know Saul knew about it ahead of time is because he called him Lord. He said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And Saul said, hey, I'll do it. Outside in motivation. Can I just tell y'all something? Whenever you read the history of the Jewish nation, they had to be changed from the outside in so many times. Over and over and over and over and over and over again, they were changed from the outside in. Can I just tell you what I call the outside-in change? Learning it the hard way. Come on. Read the story of the Jewish nation. You see, the challenge with either one of these ways, whether you're changed from the outside in or the inside out, it's to choose that the experience is going to have a positive transformation in you. Because I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes God starts messing with our life, and it can actually be a negative situation where we just throw up our hands. I ain't going to church no more. I ain't going to listen to the pastor. He's meddling in my business. I'm leaving. It can be a negative situation, but God wants it to be a transforming, positive experience. In fact, sometimes God gets in the middle of our lives and he wants to transform us into the son's image. And it can not only be a negative experience, but sometimes that experience can be less valuable than God wants it to be. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. There's been some lessons that I've had to learn over and over and over again. Some of y'all are sitting out there, I don't have that problem. I found myself there so many times, and I'm telling you, we want to make sure that whatever way that God is dealing with, inside out, outside in, that transformation experience that we're going through is going to be positive, and it's going to be as valuable as God wants it to be. So here's a quick little kind of unscientific poll. I don't want you to raise your hands or anything, but just kind of in your own heart answer this question. How many times, let's say this year, 2017, have you heard something in a sermon, something being taught, maybe you've read it in the Word of God, or maybe you've heard it in your prayer time, whenever God just speaks right directly to you. Now, you heard something in a sermon, you heard something in a teaching, you heard something in the middle of in prayer. Maybe you even heard it a couple of times. Once, twice, three times. Once in a sermon, once in a teaching. Once from the clerk at the grocery store. I don't know. And what you heard was something to do with God's speaking to you that He wants you to be different in some area of your life. Now, how many of us have heard that this year in the almost 7 months that we've been in existence in 2017? Now, we've heard it. And we've also affected a change from that interaction. In other words, let me give you an example. Let's say you get up on the wrong side of the bed one morning, which you are apt to do occasionally, and this is your motto: until I've had my coffee, nobody even look at me. Okay? So you're getting up, and I mean, man, you can just feel it. You can just feel a cranky wave started down there on your baby toe, and it's moving up to your calf and coming up your thigh. Pretty soon, man, you're just going to be taken over by a cranky wave. Are y'all with me? And the Holy Spirit speaks to you and says, man, you don't got to be cranky. You can be full of the joy of the Lord. And you say, until I have my coffee, you need to keep your mouth shut. No. How many of us heard a thought like that? Read it in the Word, heard it in a sermon, and you made a change. You said, wait a minute. You're right. I don't have to get up cranky. I can set up an IV to come on in the middle of the night and inject coffee right into my veins starting at about 5 o'clock in the morning, and I can jump up full of... No. Are y'all with me? I mean, how many of us have heard it? We've heard it, and we say, man, I'm going to change. I'm going to change from that interaction that I've just had with God. In other words, how many of us have had an experience like that, and we have made a significant change in the way we live? Man, I'll tell you what, whenever I wrote this down, okay, Watson, let's give some examples of how the pastor did it. Got my pencil out, sharpened it real sharp. I wonder what's on YouTube. Everything. Are y'all there with me? I mean, sometimes we hear it, but we fail to bring about that change that we so desperately need in our lives. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. If there's something wrong with you, 99% chance you know what it is that's wrong with you. You know what needs to change. You know those areas of your life where God says, man, this is something that you need to get a hold of. I mean, man, there's a lot of things that can bring about change in our lives. Let me tell you something that can bring about change in your life. A new child coming into your life. A baby brings about change. Amen? I just granted all these new parents that they brand new babies, you know, first time ever. And they tell me, you know, Pastor, it's going to be like this, and it's going to be like that, and it's going to be like this. And this baby's not going to be any kind of inconvenience whatsoever. We're just going to live our lives. Because I've read 3 books that I got off the internet, and I'm telling you, this is the way it's going to be. By the time this child gets to be about 6 months old, they're going to know sign language. They won't be talking yet, but they'll be able to communicate with me sign language. I go, okay, whatever you say. About 6 months into the living with the baby every day, they come into church, great big bags under their eyes. Kid doesn't know anything about sign language. In fact, they've given up on that back in the first month. Y'all with me? Kids can cause you to change. You all know who's referring to right here. Last week, whenever we said you're going away for a week, he stood up and clapped. Just saying. Mr. Tim, I tell you, with 3 teenage girls in the house, I'm kind of with you there. I understand it. Getting married, that'll change your life, won't it? Phew. I had a gentleman in our church that got married. He was a bachelor into his 40s. And he was a cowboy out in Montana working on ranches. And he married a woman in her 40s, never been married before, and moved to San Francisco, California. Let me just tell you something. Bert Samuels' life changed. It changed. Bert and Lola Lynn, that was her name, Lola Lynn. She was a sweetheart. An illness can change you. An injury can change you. All kinds of things can change you. They kind of force change on you, don't they? You hurt yourself, man, and all of a sudden, you know, you can't bend down to tie your shoes. You know, you're calling kids in to do it. Jonathan, tie my shoe for me. Can't do it. All of those things, they'll bring about change in your life, and they make you change, yes? But that's usually not the way the Holy Spirit deals with us. He comes to us, and he wants us to change from the inside out. He doesn't want to get our arm up behind our back to make us change. He just wants to come to us and say, man, this is an area of your life you need to change in. He's gonna come to us through a sermon that's been preached. He's going to come to us through a word that we've read. He's going to come to us through a lesson that we've been taught. He's going to come to us through some interaction that he's had with us in the middle of a prayer time, and he's going to ask us to change. You see, most of us are way more likely to change because of a new house or a new spouse or a new mouse or whatever else rhymes with that, than just the Holy Spirit coming and knocking on our door. This is why I think so many of us resist change, because change takes energy. It takes energy. It takes a lot of energy to change. Some of the transformations that many of us in this room have experienced, we've experienced them by our own choice. But so many of them that we've experienced, they weren't our choice at all to change. But yet, we've changed through those experiences. Some of these things were thrust on us. Every once in a while, I have one of those nightmarish dreams. You know, where you wake up in the middle of the night, man, you're just breathing hard, sweat pouring off of you. And I'm thinking to myself, man, what if my mother-in-law, my mother, and my father all had to come and live with me? Wait a minute. I'm having a heart palpitation. See, I tell you, things would change around our house. Oh, my God. Goodness, would they change? Caleb would have to sleep outside for one thing, and I'd be right there with him. See, some of the change we have to go through, it's kind of like welcome for us as like getting in a car wreck. You know, no one wants to get in a car wreck. Some of the changes, though, that we go through, they've come from these personal open times that we've had with God. Some have come from events that we don't even understand. But either way, whenever we're going through this transformation that God wants to work in our life, God is at work in each and every one of them, and he is at work to create us for his good pleasure. He wants us to be shaped into the image of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, folks, let me just tell you this. If Jesus were on this earth walking here in 2017, Jesus would be okay. Are y'all understand what I'm saying? He wouldn't be worrying, he wouldn't be fretting, he wouldn't be thinking about all the stuff the federal government's going to do and new taxes here and old taxes there. Jesus would be going along just fine. That's why you and I need to be like Jesus. Jesus would never be called all the names that sometimes people call. He would never be called racist because he's not. Are y'all there? We all need to change to be like Jesus. I can look back on some of the times whenever I've experienced an outside-in change. And many times, like the Apostle Paul, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God was trying to get my attention long before that outside-in change took place. He was trying to do it from the inside out. How many of y'all know he wants to do it from the inside out? But what I've looked back on and discovered is all the times where the Holy Spirit was knocking at my heart's door and saying, man, you need to change this. You need to stop doing that. You need to start doing this. I think maybe I was too dull to understand it. Maybe I was too dull to listen. You see, the pressure that you and I experience on that outside-in transformation, it doesn't create character. It just merely reveals the character that you and I have. Outside-in transformations are the most often applied in cases whenever a person or a church has been dull to hear God. Let me just tell you something, folks. If we don't change as individuals, if we don't change as a church, God's going to change us. Are y'all with me? If I don't desire to change as a pastor, then he'll put somebody else in there that will. Are y'all there? God is going to have his way. Period. There's been times in my own life whenever I have, for whatever reason, chose to ignore what God said to me. Can I just ask y'all, how many of you are good at ignoring stuff every now and then? Thank you, Jonathan, for your honesty. Thank you. Dalton, just go ahead and raise your hand so that you're not lying in church. I mean, we've all been there. I hate to say this, but I've ignored my wife every once in a while. She looks out, what's that out there in the yard? And I know what she wants me to do is pick it up and move it. Church was really good today, Renee. So then she just goes to Caleb, and Caleb learned it from me. He ignores her too. Gosh, I feel bad. I'm a bad husband sometimes. I've ignored my kids. I've ignored my wife. Sometimes I ignore you. The other day, one of y'all called. I seen your name right there on caller ID. I said, I don't want to talk to him. So I told Rick, I said, here, you talk to him. We're all like that. We have those moments whenever we ignore what it is that God's trying to do in our lives. He comes and he says, man, I don't want you being cranky in the morning. That's not the way Jesus was. He comes to you and he says, man, I don't want you to lie like that. I don't want you to think like that. I don't want you to act like that. And we have this mechanism on the inside of us that says, man, I can ignore him for a long time. He's trying to change us from the inside out, but I will tell you this. If he has to, he will resort from the outside in. Inside out transformations are the most intimate. They're the most unseen to us, but they're obviously the most often way that God chooses to change us. Now this next one, everybody's going to clap and applaud for this one, because this one here is kind of the statement of the whole message. The hardest things to have successfully transformed are almost always our favorites. Thanks, Dalton. The hardest things to be transformed are the things that are that we've grown so comfortable with. Every once in a while, my wife gets on to me about my pajamas. She said, JD, those pajamas need to go in the trash. She said, they got holes all in them. And I go, man, but they are so comfy. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You got pajamas that are so holy, they could be at the Vatican. But she finally, she'll just say, this is what she has done. She has had the audacity to do this in the past. I go into my pajama drawer to get my pajamas out, and they're not there. And so immediately, I go to the person in our house that takes out the trash, and I said, Mom, throw my pajamas in the trash. And you know what they say? I'm sworn to secrecy. I cannot tell you, lest Mama beat me. Then I have to go get one of them unbroken in pairs of pajamas. Are y'all with me? God, whenever He comes to us and He begins to transform our lives, those things that are the hardest to be transformed in our lives are usually the things that are most comfortable to our lives. You see, we take for granted that there are certain aspects of our lives about which we're sure that God doesn't have a preference. Like this. God really doesn't care if I wake up in a bad mood in the mornings. He doesn't. Because by the time I get eight cups of coffee, I'm okay. And then I'm just all happy and cheery and I shake like everything, but I'm okay. Can I just tell you something? God has a preference about everything about your life. Everything. He has a preference. Sometimes we go this far. There's things about my life that I'm sure God wouldn't even want to change if He had the chance. Can I just tell you, whenever I got saved, almost everything about my life, God wanted to change it. Oh no, I gotta say it again. Whenever I got saved, everything about my life, God wanted to change it. Everything. And if any one of us in this room call Him Lord, then I would tell you that I am absolutely confident that the Lord Jesus reserves the right to put His finger on any aspect of our life and say, I'm going to change it. Are y'all with me? Any aspect of our life. And if I had to guess in any one of our lives this morning, I would say more than likely He's going to deal with our pets first. And some of y'all are looking, why would He want to mess with my dog? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about those things that we've grown comfortable with. It's the way that we are. And this is a sin, I'm telling you folks, of people that are over 55. Whenever we make a statement like this, well, it's too hard to teach an old dog new tricks. Let me just tell you something. We can change if we desire to change. We desire to be in the image of Jesus Christ. When we step over from this life to the next, He can change us if we are willing to be changed, because this is what the Bible says: nothing is impossible to those who believe. He can change an old dog. Come on. He can change an old dog. He wants to change some old dogs. Okay, let me say it a different way. There's some old dogs that need to change. Okay. So this scripture that we read at the onset of this message about this veil that Moses had over his face, and then it talks about this veil that the Israelites had over their minds. It made their minds dull. You see, basically, when the Apostle Paul gets right in the middle of this thing, basically he's saying this, guys, he's saying, we don't have that same veil over our eyes anymore. We don't have that same veil over our minds and our hearts anymore. It's been removed. And so, folks, this is what I'm saying to us. We don't have the dulling of our understanding. We don't have this mental outlook that they used to have, this mindset that they used to have. We have the ability to be transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ, to reflect the glory of Jesus Christ. This is what I'm saying to you. You can't say, I didn't know anymore. You can't say, I didn't know I needed to change. Because see, through the transforming of your spirit, through the transforming blood of Jesus Christ being applied to you, the understanding comes that you and I can be changed, because now we know we need to be changed. And so this morning I'm going to ask this question. How do we like it? Do we like it from the inside out or the outside in? How many of us in this room would say, Pastor, I always want to be changed from the outside in. I want circumstances and situations. I want things to come my way that basically back me up in a corner and they force me to change. See, I'm not going to vote for that at all because, folks, as I said earlier, that's calling learning it the hard way, and I don't desire to learn it the hard way. I want to hear a message. I want to read the Word. I want God to speak to me in a prayer time. I want something to be said to me by the Spirit of God that says, Watson, you've got to change in this area of your life. I want to do it from the inside out. But ultimately, this is what I will say. I want to be willing to be transformed by the Spirit of God in my life. And if I'm going to be transformed, I cannot remain where I am right now. I have to move from this spot. Jared, if you'll come this morning and help me close this message. You know, the change that has taken place in my own life, the way I see God doing it in me is kind of like an airplane pilot. We've all flown on an airplane, or maybe some of us have. Jonathan never has. We will throw you out the second story window of youth on Wednesday, and it'll be almost the same. Okay. Flying on an airplane, basically you sit down, and you know where your destination is supposedly to be, and so you trust the airplane pilot to get you there, yes? To transport you there. Well, it's like that whenever it comes to the change in my life. God knows where I need to go. Yes? He has a great map, GPS or whatever it's called. And in order for me to change, God has to navigate that path for me. But I have to be willing to come along for the journey. I believe God's going to navigate change in so many of our lives this morning. I think there's some young people that have come back from camp that God has touched your life, and I can't wait to hear the testimonies, and I can't wait to see the video of how God transformed your life. But in all of that, He wants to change all of us, not just these young people. He's going to change our lives through study, through prayer, through times of fasting. I believe that it is absolutely imperative for in this moment in the history of the world for the Church of Jesus Christ to rise up and say, we have got to change. If we are going to affect this world with the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we have got to change. We've got to. And Lord, I put myself in your hands and I ask you to affect change in my life. Lord, I'm asking you to do it from the inside out. Give me a couple of shots at that first before you come to my life and you put me in a corner and make me change. You see, I'm kind of tired of the old. And I really am longing for the new. This morning, everything that I'm talking about here is supernatural. Y'all realize that? I mean, you could probably go to counseling for a few years and take some medication and maybe one of these days not wake up cranky in the morning. But I want to tell you something. The supernatural hand of God can be placed on your life and He can change all of that without any therapy or medication. Y'all with me? So what I'm talking about is a supernatural event, and this is the amazing thing about it. This morning, I want to receive communion with everyone in this room, that you're at a point in your life where you can receive communion. And I wanted to remind us about the fact that Jesus died so that you and I could change into the glory that He gives us the ability to change into. He gives me the ability to be like Him. I'm telling you this morning, why don't you act like your older brother? Why don't I act like my older brother? And the fact of the matter is this, I have the ability through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ to live the life that He has called me to live. This is the other amazing thing about it. I have the ability to change from the inside out versus the outside in, because Jesus died for my life. I'm going to ask.